Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 26th of January of the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk to Ann Sechrest about the new season of AARP programs on 360 North TV. We'll find out about Perseverance Theater's production of Animals Out of Paper opening tomorrow night at Perseverance Theater. Dr. Emily King will be here to talk about kitchen medicine, and Nancy DeCherny will be giving us the rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. Ned Ryder's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, snow showers at about 1 to 2 inches expected, low temperatures around 27 degrees. Forecast for Friday looks like snow showers are likely with about 1 inch of snow expected. Friday night, snow showers likely and snow and rain likely on Saturday.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The president of the National Congress of American Indians addressed tribal leaders, federal officials, and people in Indian country. Jefferson Keel gave the State of Indian Nations this morning from Washington, D.C. The speech outlined tribal priorities for the year and was a response to President Obama's State of the Union address. Keel said the State of Indian Nations is strong. He called on the Obama administration and Congress to work with tribes to help improve the lives of Native people. Keel said Congress should continue funding for tribes regardless of budget challenges. He said U.S. presidential candidates need to pay attention to Indian issues, and he said many efforts are underway to get out the Native vote.
We're focused on building stronger communities for generations to come. When we step in the ballot box, we want to vote for candidates who stand with tribal nations to create strong, prosperous futures. We're not mobilizing for one party or for one candidate. Indians don't just vote D for Democrat or R for Republican. For us, it's I for Indian. We're independent voters, and we'll continue to vote for the candidate who is strong on our issues and cares about our priorities.
Keel also touched on tribal economic development. Oklahoma Congressman Tom Cole delivered the congressional response. Cole said self-sustainability is important for tribes and the need to continue building on the government-to-government relationship. Two men are sentenced for the racially motivated assault of a Navajo man. Paul Beebe and Jesse Sanford were sentenced Wednesday on federal hate crime charges related to the assault of Vincent Key. Beebe was sentenced to 8.5 years in prison, and Sanford was sentenced to 5 years. In 2010, the victim was taken to an apartment in Farmington, New Mexico, where he was marked with symbols on his body like KKK and white power, along with a swastika symbol shaved into his head. And Key had a swastika branded in his skin with a heated metal wire. The men were the first to be charged under a federal hate crimes prevention law. The Justice Department says the law makes it easier to prosecute hate crimes motivated by race, ethnicity, gender, religion, national origin, or sexual orientation. A third defendant, William Hatch, has not been sentenced. A housing crisis is brewing on a reserve in northern Ontario. The only school on one First Nation has cut nearly all classes because teachers have left due to moldy housing. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Nearly all of the non-local teachers at the Pikangikum First Nation in northwestern Ontario have left the community because of mold growing in the teachers' residences. Now, band officials say less than half of the elementary school's programs are running and none of the secondary school programs. The Ojibwe band still has enough local teachers to provide a handful of kindergarten classes. But of the school's more than 730 students, about 85% are not in class for lack of teachers. Joanne Donnelly is the principal. She says 25 of the school's 30 teachers have left over health concerns because of the mold.
We did have one person who was very sick, and then another fellow who also had the same sort of symptoms. And then we had another teacher who had gone through this last year. So it was like, well, better safe than sorry. We got to get out of here until they can eliminate this.
A recent assessment showed that teachers' quarters were widely contaminated, and with the reserve facing a chronic housing shortage, the teachers had no choice but to leave. Band leaders are arranging for a cleanup of the mold, but they're not convinced it will be done in time to save the rest of the school year. They're hoping for help from the federal government in Ottawa. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
On this day annually, Aboriginal Australians recognize Survival Day when the first British fleet arrived in the country in 1788. The lives of Aboriginal people were changed by the English settlement and government policies like the forced removal of Aboriginal children from their homes, known as the Stolen Generations. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use Pick, Click, Give when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is just about 3:06 and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next on the phone with me is Ann Sechrist, producer of the series AARP Alaska. It's just begun its 13-to-13-week series on 360 North. It's its third year, and welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much. It's a great, great being with you.
So tell us a little bit about the series, how it got started. This is in its third season.
Yes, it's in its third season. Actually, it got started quite by chance. We had some funding a couple years ago, and I saw an opportunity the idea was trying to reach as many Alaskans as possible, and I saw public television as the perfect vehicle to reach as many Alaskans as possible, and 360 North was definitely that vehicle.
And in the process, you took yourself a prize from the Alaska Broadcasters Association.
Yes, that was quite an honor. We received a Goldie Award for the program on heating assistance. The goal for all the programs is getting as much valuable information, we hope, to the public. And so we wanted to get that program focused on what resources were available through LIHEAP, or the state's heating assistance program, for Alaskans.
Is the program itself just for seniors?
The program? Absolutely not. When you talk about the television program, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. There's a lot of information. While it is geared toward 50-plus, anytime you have a program in which someone 50-plus gains information or benefits, ultimately the entire family benefits from any financial gain or any economic benefit. So I think there's a lot of information, be it Social Security, Medicare, certainly consumer counseling, any health benefits for veterans. That definitely goes across a wide range, age range. Trusts, risky investments, investment traps. Those are all ageless issues.
Is there a way for people who want to look at older archive programs to do that?
I'm sorry?
Is there a way to look at older archived programs?
Yes. We have season one is available at no charge. Individuals can contact me here in Anchorage toll-free, 866-227-7447, and I'll repeat that. Again, toll-free, 866-227-7447. It's that first season, which ran on 360 North. We have available three-set DVD. Season two is currently in production, going to DVD, and then season three is currently on the air.
And this 13-week series that just began last week on 360 North, what are the topics of this new season?
What's that?
What are the topics of this new season?
The topics of this season, we had an interview with AARP's incoming president, Robert Romasco, on the importance of Social Security. We had a great interview with Jan Jones from Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Alaska on the dangers of borrowing from Internet payday lenders, and also on the business of bad debt. Very, very interesting topic. We had United Way on the program, on their program in teaching financial stability. We had Scott Sterling, who was with the Office of Elder Fraud and Assistance, as he discussed elder fraud in Alaska. Then two of the programs focused on Alaska's veterans. And here in the state of Alaska, we have more than 77,000 veterans. And what I learned in the course of interviewing Verdi Bowen, who is the Director of Veterans Affairs here in Alaska, is a fraction of our state's veterans have not registered with the Veterans Administration. And he explained the why it's so important for our veterans to register. So one of the programs deals with the health benefits for Alaska's veterans, and the other program talks about the educational benefits and discounts for our veterans. Then we had two programs on with Beth Chapman, who's an attorney in Juneau, on planning your estate and gifting and other FAQs that estate attorneys often hear. We had two programs with Kevin Anselm, who is the Division of Banking and Securities for the state of Alaska, and she addressed risky investments and top investment traps. And then finally, we had Justine Whitman, who is a financial teacher for us. She teaches in our financial education outreach. And she taught, interviewed, we taped two programs. One was on keys to investment success, and the others was on the basics of investing.
What's the best way to get a schedule of the entire series for this 13-week program series?
I don't believe one is published, but I would be delighted to send out information on the program. We do have our e-newsletter, which is going out to anyone who does subscribe, but anyone can contact me again at that toll-free number, or my email is ak@aarp.org. Again, ak@aarp.org.
One more time for that toll-free number, please.
You bet. Toll-free 866-227-7447.
And when can people see this on 360 North Television?
It is on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. on 360 North.
And people can find out the 360 North schedule by looking on the website as well.
Yes, exactly right.
Before we go, Anne Sechrist, tell me a little bit about AARP Alaska.
AARP Alaska is a nonprofit, nonpartisan member organization. We have roughly 93,000 members in the state of Alaska. So with the 50-plus population here in the state of Alaska, which is roughly about 180,000, literally, every other person who's 50-plus, theoretically, is an AARP member. So our penetration as far as membership here in the state of Alaska is extremely high. I believe we're fifth or sixth in the nation as far as AARP membership in proportion to the population of the state. A lot of it is that people love Alaska. Boomers love Alaska. They came up in the 70s and 80s, and we're not leaving. And so that's why we have such a large membership. People recognize the value of life here in Alaska. So we have our tax aid program, our driver safety program. We do have some chapters, which are volunteer-run, and, of course, the retired teachers have their units that they belong to. But we have, right now, we're in the middle of tax aid season, so our tax aid volunteers are very busy with 36 sites around the state, and they're doing taxes for free for thousands and thousands of Alaskans.
I know they're doing that here in Juneau at the beginning of February, and we'll have the information on that on a Juneau afternoon coming soon.
Yes, and should be hopefully in the paper. That information, people can also go to aarp.org/taxaid and find the tax aid site nearest them.
Anne Sechrist from AARP Alaska, thank you so much for being on the phone with me today.
One more time
for that toll-free number, please.
Yes, 1-800, 866-227-7447.
Anne, thank you so much for being on the air with me today.
Thank you so much.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 26th of January, 2012. It's the birthday of the British playwright Christopher Hampton, born in Fayal in the Azores Archipelago, 1946. He went to Oxford, studied modern languages. He wrote a play, When Did You Last See My Mother?, which was performed at Oxford and made its way to the West End. And at the age of 20, Hampton was the youngest playwright ever to have a play produced on the West End. He continued to write plays. He wrote a comedy called The Philanthropist. Hampton said, I had a conversation with my agent after The Philanthropist. She said, you've got a choice. You can write the same play over and over for the next 30 years, and you'll probably get even better at it. Or you can decide to do something completely different every time. So I said, as a matter of fact, I have started writing a play about the extermination of the Brazilian Indians in the 1960s. And she said, well, that'll do it. He wrote the movie Dangerous Liaisons, also about 20 films that never got produced. He co-wrote the book and lyrics for the musical Sunset Boulevard. He adapted Chekhov's The Seagull for the stage, wrote the screenplay for the film Atonement, adapted from Ian McEwan's novel, and translated several plays by the French playwright Yasmina Reza, including Art and God of Carnage. Christopher Hampton, who said, asking a working writer what he thinks about critics is like asking a lamppost what it feels about dogs. It's the birthday of the songwriter Lucinda Williams, born in Lake Charles, Louisiana, 1953, who said, above all, the listener should be able to understand the poem or the song, not be forced to unravel a complicated, self-indulgent puzzle. Offer your art up to the whole world, not just an elite few. It's the birthday of the science fiction writer Philip Jose Farmer, born in North Terre Haute, Indiana, 1918, grew up in Peoria, was working at a steel mill there, when he wrote his story, The Lovers, about an oppressive 31st century North America in which there is no nudity and human sexuality is highly controlled. Up until then, sex was taboo in science fiction. Most science fiction editors assumed that their audience of adolescent boys would not respond well to it, but the story was published. He got an award for it, quit his job in the steel mill, became a full-time writer. Philip Jose Farmer, who said, imagination is like a muscle. I found out that the more I wrote, the bigger it got. Here's a poem for today by Brad Rica, entitled The Beautiful Sandwich. She could always make the most beautiful sandwich, laced Swiss cheese sliced crossways folded once, ham in rolls like sleeping bags, turkey piled like shirts, tarragon, oregano, pepper, herb dill mayonnaise the color of skin, on top the thin wandering line of mustard like a contour on a map in a thin flat drawer or a single lost vein, the poppy seeds hold on for now. Placed on the plate like isolated driftwood or a large, solemn head, the spilled chips in yellow piles are like the strange coins of tall, awkward islanders. The thin dill pickle, their boat, slides into the green, sour sea. The Beautiful Sandwich by Brad Rica from American Mastodon, published by Black Lawrence Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well. Do good work and keep in touch.
Time is 3:19. You are tuned in to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Tune in to the Alaska Identity Project tonight as host Adrian Lopez interviews Larry Johansson, author of Extra Tough, An Alaskan Way of Life, and soon to be published Alexander 18, the story of 18 wilderness areas in Alaska. In the second part of the show, Adrian will air a pre-recorded interview with Brian P. Schmidt, 2011 Nobel Prize winner in physics, in part Alaskan. He's a graduate of the Bartlett High School in Anchorage. He'll be providing evidence that the expansion of the universe is accelerating. It's coming up tonight at 7 o'clock here on KTUO News. Coming up next on KTUO, a Juno afternoon, we'll talk to Flor Delino at Lagandino about Perseverance Theater's brand new play, Animals Out of Paper. Flor Delino, thank you very much for coming down the station.
Thank you for having me.
So you're the director.
I am the director of this piece. I'm the director of the Animals Out of Paper, and I have a really wonderful cast on the show for the play. Elizabeth Peisel Davis is one of the actors, James Sullivan and Junior Davidson. Three actors, really intimate play about a woman, Ilana, who is an origami artist, and she's just gone through a really kind of a divorce, which I was going to say a horrific divorce, but I think that probably all divorces are horrific. And it's about her trying to put her life back together, or the two people that impact her life, that in order for her to do so.
Tell us about the playwright, please. One of his other plays was a finalist for the 2010 Pulitzer Prize for Drama.
Rajiv Joseph, yeah, he's a wonderful playwright, probably one of the most important emerging playwrights right now in the country. Yeah, Bengal Tiger was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. He is an interesting playwright in the fact that he writes relationships, writes about relationships, and writes about the way people kind of collide with each other and impact each other. And you see that throughout the play. So, like, for example, in Ilana, she is holed up in her studio after this divorce that she's had, really not wanting to be a part of anybody's life, just wanting to be there, kind of wallowing in what she has gone through. And then she is met up with this guy, Andy, who is a teacher in high school, and then subsequently by the student of Andy, who Andy, the teacher, wants Ilana to tutor in origami. So through this collision of kind of like relationships, she's able to hopefully maybe pull her life together.
Why did you choose the play?
I didn't choose the play. Art and I think Shona Strouser had a big part in choosing a play for Perseverance Theater. I chose to do the play when they asked me, partly because I'm really interested in acting plays that really feature the actors. I think, and for me, that's really the essential part of theater is the actor and the relationships that they create. And so it's really, the show is really difficult because of that. There's only three actors on stage. There's no razzle-dazzle. It's really about moment-to-moment. What does this person want? How do they impact each other? And then telling the story from how does Ilana change throughout this process? So that's been really, as an actor and as having trained as an actor, that has really excited me, and that's why I want to be a part of it. Also, in addition, Rajiv Joseph is, I would say, one of the most important young playwrights, but also a very important minority playwright in this country. And Bengal Tiger was dealing with the Iraq War. He has a very interesting voice, and I think a very important voice for people to hear.
Is that the kind of voice that you, when you read one of his plays, you say, when you see another one, you go, that's Rajiv?
I think so. I think partly because he doesn't pull any punches. He makes the characters go through very difficult situations, not necessarily difficult in the fact that, you know, well, yeah, difficult situations that are very heightened, that are very heightened emotionally. I think that definitely you can tell what he's going through, what kind of play he does. One of the plays, he has a kind of collection of plays, and one of them is called Gruesome Playground Injuries, and it's like this collection of kind of scenes, and goes back and forth in time, and it's this couple, or not even a couple, it's like two friends. One guy is in love with the woman, and it's about them and how they aren't able to quite connect in their lives, and the injuries are kind of a metaphor for the injuries of their emotional life and how they have injured each other. There's physical injuries, but then there's also the emotional injuries, and I think that's something. When I say gritty, is that's what it is. It's we all go through sort of an emotional journey in our lives, and he's really adept at telling that emotional journey.
Is this for all ages?
I think I would say, you know, from 13 and above, there's language in the play. You know, there's a little bit of a salty language in the play. But I think that the play is something that could speak to a lot of different people. And I think it's a really fun play. Some of the aspects of the play that are really great. Andy Klein is doing the sound design for the show. Andy Klein from KXLL, he's doing that. It's really great. Art Roach has done the set. He's done a fantastic job. Some of the other designers that are on it, Laura Eckelman, who's doing the lighting designs, coming from out of town. She's fantastic. Giselle Stone, this is her first time doing props, and she's doing a fantastic job. There's a lot of origami on the set, and her and Kathleen Harper have done a fantastic job organizing all this origami and having origami folding parties, and it's been a really great experience watching the set as it's being transformed from just a studio to an origamist studio. So that's been fantastic.
What figure do you think is most popular?
In the play?
Is it the paper crane or?
Oh, you know, I definitely think it's probably a paper crane, partly because of, and he also mentioned like what's happened in Nagasaki. The paper crane is infamous for just being that kind of a symbol of peace, and we have them on the set, and it's mentioned in the play, and that is definitely a part of it. It's about, there is part of this play also is about the closeness of death in life, and what does it mean to live, to really live? Suresh, who is the student learning, the high school student learning origami, who's brilliant, he's just gone through a tragedy. His mother is killed, and origami is kind of saying to him, I don't know, like for him it's life, you know, it's about being alive. It's about something that he can kind of lean on. But and he's trying to figure out how to live every day where what he is doing is important. And I think that his past experience and then meshing it with what Alana has gone through, kind of they impact each other. And that's exciting to watch on stage.
What do you want the public to come away from the play seeing or thinking?
I think I want them to come away thinking that, number one, they've just watched a play where three actors from the community have really listened and reacted to each other and have done some lovely work. But I think I also want them to go away with the understanding that life is a delicate thing, that we must live life to the fullest all the time, and that things happen, but there, at the end of the day, we can move on. It may be very hard. It may be some light at the end of the tunnel that is barely reachable, but I think that this play kind of delves into that fact that with time, with the right circumstances, we can be okay.
Animals Out of Paper opens tomorrow night at Perseverance Theater. Do you know how long it's going to run?
It's going to run Thursday through Sunday to February 12th. And the last day, February 12th, is a 2 p.m. performance. But generally, Thursday through Sunday, 7:30 p.m. And then the last day, February 12th, it is going to be a 2 p.m. show.
And if people need tickets, what's the best way to get them?
I think you can go to perseverancetheater.org. And I think you can go to also the www.jahc.org or 463-TIXS, I believe, is the phone number that you call for the tickets.
All right, Flor Delina Lagandino talking about Animals Out of Paper, the brand new Perseverance play. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, I think that just please come out and see it. Tonight's a preview, 7:30 p.m. at on Douglas. And if you like the show, tell a friend.
I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can hold now. The doll that other fellows cannot see. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting
She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl. I guess you've played the doll game over and over. I guess you've had a million dolls or more. You just quarreled with Sue. That's why you blew. She's gone away and left you just like all dolls do. I guess you know it's tough to be alone. And it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with bowling. I'll never bowl again. Say, boy, what you gonna do? I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
The Mills Brothers, the time is 3:31 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is Dr. Emily Kane here to discuss kitchen medicine and also about a community celebration of natural health care. Emily, thank you for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Jeff.
So what do you mean by kitchen medicine?
Well, there's a lot of things that are probably in your kitchen right now that can help you get over a common cold or even just take off some winter chill. Some of my favorite warming herbs are cayenne and ginger. I'm partial to fresh ginger. You can do all sorts of things with fresh ginger. This might sound a little wild and off topic, but I see a fair number of people, especially women, who wish that their hair weren't thinning. And so I tell them a trick that I learned when I studied in China, that you cut a root of ginger so that the juicy part is fairly exposed, about the size of your thumb, and then you can just rub that all over your scalp, and it's a diaphoretic, and that means that it helps to stimulate local circulation and brings more nutrients and oxygen to the hair follicles. And if you do that regularly once a week right before you wash your hair, you might find that it stimulates a little bit of hair growth. And just like it stimulates blood flow to the scalp, ginger will stimulate blood flow to the stomach and the intestines, so that's why it's a digestive aid. And it's also warming. So if you're feeling a little chilled on a winter day, or you feel like you might be coming down with a cold, when you get home, you can just put a slice of ginger, even some powdered ginger, into some hot water. And if you like, you can stir a little honey into it. And honey's great for a cough. All sorts of lingering coughs have been helped by the antibacterial effects of honey. I also like cayenne pepper, and whenever I'm making a winter stew or soup, I'll always put a hearty pinch of cayenne pepper in there just to give a little bit of bite, and again to help stimulate the circulation to the stomach and give those give that nice warming feeling. Cayenne is also a styptic, and that means that it helps to stanch blood flow, so it's a great remedy to have on hand for a shaving nick or something. You can just actually just put a little dab of cayenne pepper on your, if you cut yourself with a razor in the morning, and it'll just close that bleed right up in just a matter of seconds. So cayenne, ginger, most people have those in their kitchen right now. And those are warming nutrients that are commonly on hand, as opposed to, say, peppermint, which is really lovely in the summer on a hot day. It's cooling. Spirulina is something that's cooling, but you might not necessarily have that in your kitchen. The other kitchen nutrients that I absolutely love are garlic and onions. And so many of you listeners might have heard of good old chicken soup being referred to as Jewish penicillin. Well, there's a long tradition behind that, and it's quite medicinal. And the reason why is because garlic and onions are chock full of sulfur, the mineral sulfur, and the indigenous Americans highly valued their hot sulfur springs, and many communities around the world sprung up around these warm sulfurous springs. And the big deal about sulfur is that it's an agent of detoxification. So basically, it helps open, this is a wonderful naturopathic word, the amunctories. So the
what's an amunctory?
The amunctory, thanks for asking, Jeff. The amunctories are the composite of all of the organs of elimination. It's where stuff comes out. Got to blow it out your nose, or sweat it out, or pee it out, or poop it out, and all the avenues that allow for waste to be eliminated from the body are called collectively the amunctories. And so sulfur very much stimulates the detoxification of all the chemicals that we're exposed to on a regular basis, just also food waste there's a fair amount in nutrition in food that we eat commonly that we're not necessarily going to digest and take up into our cells, and so we have to expel that. And sulfur can really help that. So garlic and onions are full of sulfur, and they can definitely help you get over your viral infection, even bacterial infection. So keep garlic and onions on hand all the time. And this cold weather where we want to stay healthy and be able to enjoy the snow, we're a little bit more vulnerable because we need to use more energy just to keep our core temperature up. So some of our immune capacity is going just to staying warm. So it makes us a little bit more vulnerable to the colds and flus that might be going around.
I would think that some of these cures fall in the folk cure remedy that have been corroborated by modern science.
Sulfur, of course, sulfa drugs came right before penicillin was developed in the 1940s. So the sulfonamide drugs were really the first class of what has now become a whole pharmaceutical industry, and it really did start with the sulfa drugs. And penicillin is an interesting story. The Third Man, Orson Welles' classic, is a really interesting discussion of penicillin, black market of penicillin during the First World War, and it definitely saved many, many soldiers' limbs that would have lost their limbs to gangrene. And many fungi and mushroom-like plants have a very potent medicinal power. There's any number of medicinal mushrooms that have gotten a lot of research in for cancer prevention and triage. Just for example, Coriolanus, lion's mane, is a mushroom that's I always give patients that are wanting to prevent a recurrence of specifically breast cancer. And most people have heard of reishi and maitake and ganoderma, and these are all wonderful medicinal mushrooms that could be incorporated into daily use. Not necessarily in your kitchen right now, but something that you certainly could put there. But another thing that I want to mention about chicken soup, so if you're going to make the Jewish penicillin with lots of onions and garlics and chicken broth, you want to have an organic chicken and put those bones in, because one of the best parts about a good chicken soup is the stock that's made from simmering the bones, and the marrow comes out of the bones, and the marrow is full of immunologically active proteins that are very easy to digest. So that's one of the things about chicken soup. It's protein, easy to digest, full of sulfur and other good nutrients, and plus it's really tasty. It's a great thing to have on a winter day.
I've been seeing some research lately about coconut oil staving off Parkinson's disease, and also
coconut oil is a very interesting, many essential fatty acids. One is lauric acid, which is antiviral, and viruses tend to attack the nervous system. Lauric acid has a fair amount of research in combating chronic fatigue syndrome, which some people think is a viral, maybe chronic Epstein-Barr virus or cytomegalovirus. We're not 100% sure what causes the attack on the substantia nigra in Parkinson's. It may be autoimmune, it may be viral, but coconut oil is one of the reasons why Thai people typically have wonderful skin. It's probably the number one cooking oil in Thailand. And I like to cook with coconut oil because it doesn't break down on a relatively higher heat. So if you want to mix it up with your olive oil a little bit, coconut oil is a great substitute, or even full-fat coconut milk, because you can stir-fry, but the oil will still maintain its essential fatty acid integrity, and those good essential fatty acids get taken up into your cell membranes and help prevent deterioration of your cells prematurely. And one of the reasons that you want to have good cell membranes is you don't want molecules going willy-nilly in and out of your cell, because the cell membrane protects the nucleus, and all cancer and much disease starts with a ding on the nucleus of any given cell. So protecting that cell membrane by having adequate levels of cholesterol to make the cell membrane, to repair the cell membrane, and other essential fatty acids like the ones that come from coconut oil is always a good idea. And avoid those hydrogenated oils. So if the oils that are typically that are solid at room temperature, like Crisco, you know, typically not a good thing. They've been jammed with hydrogen to preserve their shelf life, but that deeply undermines the quality of the oil. And if you eat bad oil, that's what's going to be incorporated into your cell membranes.
Talking with Emily Kane about kitchen medicine and also a celebration in the community of natural health care. You want to elaborate on that, please?
So one of the reasons I stay in Juneau and I love being in Juneau is there's so many people here that are devoted to personal wellness and have done explorations to increase the quality of their life by committing to more natural lifestyle. So we have a very radiant or abundantly stocked organic food store here. Dave Otteson has done a fantastic job in vetting all the products in the store and keeping the produce section. I just love walking in Rainbow Foods, seeing the produce section. So Rainbow Foods and the Juneau Family and Birth Center, plus the community of naturopathic doctors in Alaska, the Alaska Association of Naturopathic Physicians, with the Birth Center and Rainbow Foods, are having a celebration of choice in healthcare, personal choice in your healthcare, natural healthcare. So it's just a 2-hour party this Saturday, the 28th of January, from 4 to 6. Come on down. It's specifically to thank the community of Juneau for supporting vibrancy in natural healthcare.
Is there a website you might recommend for people who are interested in natural healthcare?
There's many websites. I like Mercola.com. If you can get past that he pretty much wants to sell you something all the time, he's got some really good information. Rainbow Foods has a good website. The Juneau Family and Birth Center has a good website. I have a lot of free information on my website. Most of the articles that are posted on my website, which is DrEmilyKane.com, have been published previously, so vetted by peer editors. What other website do I really like? There's the Health Ranger. You can Google Health Ranger. Mike Adams is the guy that runs that. He's got a lot of good information. I also really like the Townsend Letter out of Port Townsend, Washington. It's probably the oldest alternative news journal in the country. It's been around since the 70s, publishing regularly since the 70s. I've gotten a lot of continuing education from reading the Townsend Letter. So that should get you started.
And Emily Kane, thank you very much for coming down the station and talking about the celebration and also kitchen healthcare.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to see you.
Like a king, and you can do anything.
Jessica Harper. The time is 3:45, and you're tuned into KTUO News in Juneau.
Arts Up on K2 is supported in part by the Juneau Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juneau Artist Gallery is open year-round, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Nancy DeJourney, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me. It's an exciting weekend coming.
The big news is the Capitol steps have braved through the winter warnings, and they're here.
They're here. They have landed. They came in yesterday, actually, and they've been enjoying the weather. In fact, so yes, they're here. The official word is that the show is sold out, but I know that if you come to the door, we'll probably get you in. We're going to start the wait list at 6:30. And you can come and get your name on in the list. And I've never seen a sold-out show where we haven't gotten everybody that came to the door in. So do come. If you don't want to do that, there are other things. There's a meditation seminar out at Pavitt Health and Fitness tonight at 6:30. And it's the preview for Animals Out of Paper at 7:30. So you go over to Perseverance and get a jump start on their newest show that's opening on Friday. Which, speaking of Friday, if you're a movie person, Juno Underground Movie Project Society, their call for submissions, your submission is due on Friday. You can give them a call over there at Lucid Reverie for more information about that.
And a series of shows begins on February 2nd, I think.
I don't remember that because I can only get from day to day. This only goes to February 1.
Okay, well, you can take it from me. The horse's mouth here.
All righty then. We got it. The horse is here. At 10 a.m. on at 10 a.m. on Friday, Art of Place. They're going to be talking about history. This is a lecture series that's happening out at the University of Alaska Southeast in the Glacier View Room. It's free. It's sponsored by BP and ConocoPhillips. Steve Henriksen and Janice Criswell will be talking about the history of art in this place here. J. Allen McKinnon's offering the Kimball Organ Concert at noon in the State Office Building atrium. That's, of course, free. There is a acapella choir forming out at UAS, their resident acapella choir, it says, called the Alaskapella. And they're doing auditions Friday from 3 till 5 at the UAS Hendricks Building, room 113. That's downstairs in the Hendricks Building. If you want more information about that, 209-7798. At 6:30 and at 8 p.m. on Friday out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, they're starting their fireside lecture series. Porcupines in Winter is the topic this year. And if you want more information, 789-0097. And again, Perseverance Theater, Animals Out of Paper, opens on Friday and runs through the weekend. And will run for several weekends. But again, we don't want to miss out, so get your tickets now. Great Alaska Bluegrass Band is at the Alaskan Bar on Friday night starting at 10 and Saturday night starting at 10. Saturday, it's the 31st annual Learn to Ski Weekend up at Eagle Crest. I can't believe that. It's 31 years already. So give them a call up at Eagle Crest to get the full schedule of events. At 8 a.m., Dream Big, coach training for girls on the run. This is sponsored by Aware. It takes place out at the Shrine at St. Therese. Get more information. They have several things going on over the weekend about this. 586-6623. At 10 a.m. going on until about 6 p.m. Over at Centennial Hall, it's the Alaska Women's Expo, Women Empowering Women, sponsored by the Bartlett Hospital Foundation. 463-5704. It's free, thanks to Alaska USA. All day long, they'll have classes and demonstrations. I happen to know they're going to have a cake decorating demonstration because at 4 o'clock, they'll have an auction for those very same cakes. At noon, there'll be a keynote speech by Sandy Parnell, our First Lady. At 1 p.m., a fashion show with stuff from Choco, Shoefly, Nugget Outfitters, Western Auto. And at 4 p.m., my favorite part, a champagne tasting. La. 2 p.m., there's a fundraising auction and raffle that the Fraternal Order of Eagles and the Disabled American Veterans is offering. It's out at Jordan Creek Avenue, 2055 Jordan Creek Avenue. Or Jordan Avenue. There's also, you were just talking about the Freedom of Choice in Healthcare thing happening at 4 o'clock at the Juneau Family and Birth Center. 6:30 on the weekends, Dan Hobson, recent winner of the Mayor's Awards for the Arts, is the classical guitarist offering music at the Baranoff Hotel Gold Room on Saturday nights and Sundays at dinners. It's the ninth Jazz Divas at 7 p.m. on Saturday. This is going to be at Zephyr Restaurant. They suggest that you get reservations 780-2221. It's all your favorite divas, all playing with Tom Loker and Clay Good. It's going to be fun.
And some new divas, too.
New divas, too.
Find out tomorrow by listening to June Afternoon.
All right. I mean, there's just the divas, and they're just everywhere. It's exciting that how many divas Juno's got. I'm pretty excited about that. The Winter Barn Dance, 7:30 on Saturday. Happy to Be There is performing. Tom Call is doing the instruction and calling. Tom Paul. This is at St. Anne's Parish Hall, 463-3214. Give them a call. On Sunday, there's CPR and first aid training for the Girls on the Run. Call Aware to get registered for that. The Canvas is offering their musical junk day at 10 a.m. This is something to do, bring your stuff that needs to be recycled into a musical instrument. 586-1750 for more information about that. And something new, starting at noon and going till about 4, the Juno Gamers group is going to try to have game day the last Sunday of every month for a little bit. All sorts of games, from board games, there will be painting, there will be all sorts of things going on. This will be at the Jack. I think there's a $10 fee to join some of the games, but some of it is for free, too. I don't have the phone number, but you can check back and maybe we'll have that on the web. On Monday, there are free English classes. Actually, there's quite a few of them. Check the full calendar for more information about that. These are out at UAS Egan Center, 114. They're free. It's at 5:30 p.m. There's a writing group at the downtown library at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, the Marie Drake Planetarium is talking about Poseidon and Neptune. That's at 6:30 p.m., 500-2941 for more information about that. And the last of our one-night stands will be on Tuesday at the Jack Gallery. Christy Nami Erickson will talk about her. She went to a workshop on spoken word, and she is an amazing person to listen to. So she was received an individual artist grant from us, so come and take that in. That's free, 7:30 on Tuesday. Wednesday, Write for Your Life at 10 a.m., 6 p.m., Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen with Leah Sturgis's Jewelry. That all starts at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. Their tickets are online at their website, not through ours. There's a women's climbing class over at the Rock Dump at 6:30, 586-4982 for more information on that. And the Rain Country Fly Fishers are doing a whole little thing at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School Library. Alan Doughty will be talking. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I wanted to let people know that there are still two Flash Zone tickets for Wearable Arts Saturday night available, and you can bid on them. We have them on our online bidding, our silent auction thing. The bidding will close on February 4th, so you'll know by February 4th whether you got those tickets or not. So other than that, Saturday is sold out, and we're getting down kind of low on Sunday's shows tickets. So if you're interested in getting into the wearable art this year and going, the Sunday show is going to be great because we got the Mayor's Awards, which we've just announced. So,
do we want to go into that a little bit further? As you mentioned, Dan Hobson, I know Buddy Taper also got the award.
Yes, and let's see if I can remember them. Six is past my limit for remembering things, but Dan Hobson received the award as the artist, the elementary art school team, the Juno Delgado School teachers. It's Nancy Lanehart and Mimi Walker. They make the little art kits, and they've been very instrumental in making sure that all of our students get arts education. They've received the Art Educators Award. The Innovators in the Arts went to Lucid Reverie for their sort of long evolution of how they've used video and print and graphic design and developed a whole line of products and just done a whole lot of creative things. You mentioned Buddy Taber has received a lifetime achievement. Bing Carrillo is our volunteer for the year. And the business leadership is going to the Alaska Brewing Company. We all know why.
This will be celebrated on Sunday during the Wearable Arts Festival.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a nice opportunity to come and say thank you to these folks who've given so much to the community. Last year you were the person that walked them up and down, and you received a Governor's Award. So, hey, that's how it is around here.
What do you know? Nancy Cheney, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you for having me.
It's 3:58, and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley Knock Bay area, tune to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sars Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, here KTUO on K210 AS 89.9, and in Juneau, you can also receive KTUO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also online at www.ktuo.org. Tomorrow at 3 on Juneau afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. Robin Gilchrist will be a guest, and she'll be giving us the scoop on Saturday sessions at UAS. We'll talk with some of the divas performing on Saturday night at Zephyr. We'll also find out about the kickoff party for the upcoming Relay for Life. Ed Ritter's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Tonight at 7 o'clock on KTUO on the Alaska Identity Project, host Adrian Lopez hosts Larry Johansson, author of Extra Tough and Alaska Way of Life, and she'll also be interviewing Brian P. Schmidt, 2011 Nobel Prize winner in physics, for providing the evidence that the expansion of the universe is accelerating. The forecast for tonight, snow showers, snow accumulation 2 to 5 inches, low temperatures around 25 degrees. Forecast for Friday, more snow with accumulation of 1 to 3 inches, high temperatures around 30 degrees. The forecast for Friday night, numerous snow showers. Cloudy skies and scattered snow showers predicted for Saturday, and looks like rain and snow likely on Sunday and Sunday night. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon. Have a great day and drive carefully and walk safely.